you, I've had a time. I've enjoyed myself, and truly, it has been one of those meetings that has been, I feel gluttonous. I feel like I'm the only one that God helped with any measure. I've had a bunch of you come up and tell me that you appreciated the preaching, and I know that you do, because this place is a preacher's paradise, place where you enjoy coming to preach. There's some places I go preach once. I don't go back, because me and them didn't ever get together on that one trip. I didn't think we would on two either. When you make fun of people worshiping God the way they want to, you got problems. If somebody hollers a little bit and somebody disgraces your religion, or somebody ill-advised to shout glory or hallelujah, and you want to escort them to the door, take me with them, because I'm not interested in playing that game. I got too much bottled up in me, and in enjoying it all bottled up in me, to not say nothing about it. If somebody heals you of cancer, or some way the cancer society got you well from cancer, I promise you, you would give to them, you would support them, and you'd tell everybody you knew, I was healed through the help of the Cancer Centers of America, or a doctor's office or something. You would tell everybody. And every time that you went down there, you just, I have a staff member who's a school's principal and the church administrator. He works for me and has for 35 years. He had cancer in his chest. He had a cancer the size of a softball right behind his trachea down in this area between his two lungs. And we all thought he was going to die. He was just a moderate believer. Really, he was an intellect. He knows a lot about philosophers and church history, and I hate him. I can't even find the book of John half the time, and he gets up and wants to talk about all them genealogies and who's kin to who and why, and I sat there just in amazement. He got touched one night in church, and he knew it. He told me, he said, "The Lord touched me tonight." Well, everybody tells you that somewhere along the line, and you get used to listening to it. Then you see a lot of people that you don't know if they got touched by the Lord or just the service or what. But he got touched, and he got healed. He's been back for 1 year twice. The doctor told him he didn't need to see him for 5 years 2 weeks ago. And he, ever since he got well, he's been different. He's put away some of the books. He put away some of the sayings and some of the literary things of life, and just started kicking sawdust and praising God and thanking him, because 5 years was more than what they gave him to live before the Lord touched him. I hope the devil or somebody kin to him is close enough to be listening right now. I want to say hallelujah with three syllables. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the goodness of God. I get just as excited when somebody else gets help as I do when I get help. And watching him live for God and watching his children pray and his wife shout, "Bless is my gizzard." I thank the Lord. Courtney's with us, and this is Courtney's mother. Courtney came to our place from Charleston, West Virginia, when she was in the eighth grade. And I was up there preaching, and her mom had went through a divorce, and she's now married to a great guy there in our church. And they are some of the most supportive people in the world, and I appreciate them being there with us tonight. I appreciate them driving up. Jake ain't riding back with you. Let's get it straight. All right, good. Because that means Scott would have to take me home. Because I ain't supposed to be driving, because I drive just like I always have, in the ditch. But they say I have a problem now. So now, I'm you know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting to get old. About 80. Now, if you 80, I ain't calling you old, but if you 80, you old. Now, let's just keep it right and keep it real. You're not going to be in kindergarten in 2 weeks, I promise you that. You know, I'm just waiting to where I can get old and have a reason to do what I want to. A little old girl walk up to an old man, he'll hug her neck and say, "Darling, it's so good." And she's just hugging his neck. He's 80 years old and she's 16. If I do that, it's adultery. If he does that, it's wonderful. I'm waiting to when I can get in that crowd that's wonderful. They don't pat them on the head. They hug them and say, "Hey," and just get all around them and like them and all that, you know. I'm waiting till the day I get old. I'm just going to go out in the median at I-20 down there by our exit, and I'm just going to sit down in a lawn chair and flick boogers at people when they come by. Amen. You talking about don't care. I don't care much now about most stuff. And I'm 71. I got 9 years of boredom. But when I hit 80, I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. And I'm enjoying it now. But I'm sure going to enjoy it when I got a license to do it. Amen. Take your Bible and go anywhere. I don't care. It's all good. You stay anywhere you want to. I want to read a verse in the Psalms. Now, let me say why you're turning in the Psalms. Psalm 34:8, just one verse. Psalm 34:8. Thank you, church, for everything you've done for me this week. You folks who are of other churches and you support this meeting, I'll just throw y'all under one head and say thank God for the body of Christ. That has been good to me. I got the best cake of cornbread I've had in a long time. I don't know who cooked it, but I want her to come up to me after the service, all right? And tell me, because I don't know who. They just had it in a bag over here. And I had 14, I think, apple pies. Them kind that you lay the unfrozen dough out with and roll it. Put the apple in it and just flood it with apples. Amen. There ain't many apples around here, but there are places that has a lot of apples. We went through 10 orchards today before we ever got to the hard road. And put them apples in there and then fold it over and take a fork and go around the edges. Don't let none of that juice out. That's blasphemy. We eat them things all night. I woke up this morning and Jake said, "You ain't hungry, are you?" I said, "I can't even open my mouth, much less put anything in it." I ate them fried pies. Oh, Jesus. I'm talking about SoCo Gap fried pies, where my aunt and grandma lived, up in the mountains in Cherokee, where they make stuff that these little girls in here tonight are wondering right now what he's talking about. If you get one fried apple pie in your mouth one time, I promise you, you'll hunt the recipe. Yeah, you will, and you may even do it if you can. If you can. Thank you for praying for me. I appreciate, you don't know how much I have felt. God help me. I have not seen it on you, nor have I seen it on myself in the mirror, but I have sensed his presence. And I haven't been able to get this strong in my voice in months. God came in, and God, I begged him for weeks before this meeting, "Don't let me let them people down." And I appreciate you. I mean it. I thank God that I know, as the preacher said, who gets the glory, but somebody's got to do it. And I want to tell you, I'm grateful that you're the bunch that did it. And I appreciate you helping me. And if you'll do it tonight, I sure would be appreciative of it. Look at the 34th Psalm, if you will, please. And let me read you one verse. That verse is found in verse number 8. 8. Oh, taste and see. If you taste, you're going to see something. What are you going to see? That the Lord is good. And he goes on to say, blessed be those, let's see, oh, taste, see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Give me my boost, son, if you will. Just chunk it over here for me. Thank you, son. All right. We've been talking about this little bottle all week. I'm going to cut it short and narrow and give you the meat and just leave the fat. All right. This little bottle has been my subject all week. I never have done this and probably never will again. But I found five interesting, what are they? Statements or qualities about this boost. It is a supplemental drink that gives you protein and energy. It's liquid cocaine. It helps you to get to church and back for a week. And on this bottle, my doctor's orders, I got some. And on this bottle, it says, number one, I want somebody out of this crowd to tell me what was the first thing we learned about the boost. You got to shake it well. Now, you're not going to ever forget this. So don't try. It's ever embedded in your mind. When you go in Walmart, you're going to say, that's that stuff that preacher preached on. Shake. Well, just shake it. Get it stirred up. Secondly, there are 26 vitamins and minerals in this bottle that makes everything in this bottle true. And it does what it does because it is what it is. And so 26, if you take any of them out, you monkey up the whole thing. You say, how would you take anything out? You can't. They're too close together. They're too close together. You can't separate one. We're one with the Lord. You can't separate us from him. He cares about you. He loves you. Yes. He is in you. Yes. Oh, bless his name. So there are 26 essential, and you are an essential church member. You are important to where you go to church, and you are important, if you're not going to church, important enough to go find you somewhere. And get where God's kicking up dust and the altars are warm and the word of God's hot. And prayer is not laughed at as some kind of a gesture we don't need. Number three. What was three? You got to use it what? Daily. Every day. What was the, let's see. Is it the fourth one? Yeah, the fourth. Somebody over here tell me the fourth one. Last night, what did we talk about? Praying. We talked about 24/7. There's a number on here. You can call it anytime you want to, and somebody will talk to you about the ingredients in this bottle. I know because when I started, I called them. It was a free call. It was the only reason my wife let me. But I called them, and they said, anytime there's an issue, they said, we have people to take care of it. And tonight, the last one, there's five of them. The last one is this, It comes in three flavors. You can get chocolate, you can get vanilla, or you can get strawberry. It comes in three different tastes. It comes in three different colors. It comes from three different flavors. I want to take that little statement tonight, if you'll help me. Will you help me? If you'll help me, I'd like to say he is a flavorful God. He tastes good all the time. He can't help it because he is good all the time. A fellow the other day looked at me and he said, "Boy, the Lord's been good to me." I said, "He can't help it. He can't do nothing else." Do you know why he messes with us? He ain't got nothing else to do. Think about it. What is he doing? Making angels? He's got plenty of them. Is he creating worlds? What has God got to do but mess with us? And he'll mess with you. He'll get you straight. He'll get you help. He'll get you strength. And he'll get you going when you can't get yourself going. He is a flavorful God. When you need a chocolate taste, praise God, I'm glad he's a God that's chocolate. I'm glad when you need vanilla taste, I'm glad, praise God, just like down at Sonic, you can get you a vanilla shake, but with God, you can get you a vanilla God who gives to you what you need. It's not one fits all. He works in a matter of power and privilege and precedent in his ministry and in his life and in your life. So tonight, I want to take, if I can, this psalm and talk to you just for a few moments about I need a boost of three flavors. I want you to give me your attention and listen. Number one, if you will, please. Number one, let me give you a statement the Lord gave me. All of us, every one of us, everybody that's here, raise your hand. Raise it high, all right? Look at everybody that's going to help me pray and who's going to be a part of this. Everybody that just raised their hand, everybody, should experience the flavor of God because of these truths found in this psalm. There are some truths that you got to see that are connected to the flavor of God and God giving you what you need and you getting from him what you have to have. Number one, in this psalm, there is a decision we see. Look at it. It says, "Oh, taste and see." Oh, taste and see. If you don't taste this, it ain't going to do you no good. And if you don't take the top off, you can't taste it. You can't stick a hole in it. I guess you could stick a hole in the top and put a straw in there. But that's not what they would laugh at you at Walmart, because that's not how you do it. You take the top off. That is an absolute decision that you have to make. You have to decide, I'm going to take that stuff. I'm going to decide that I'm going to drink that stuff. I'm going to decide and make a choice and a willful decision that God is going to be first place in my heart. God is going to be first place in my experience. I'm not going to be found messing with a secondary savior or messing with somebody that's three or four down the line. I'm glad he's all I need and he's always enough. I'm glad he is good to me, and as I said before, he can't help it. I am his and he is mine. You are his and he is yours. We are kin to the king. We are walking with Jesus. We are enjoying the journey. We're having a time. We're having a fit. We're enjoying ourselves, singing and preaching the old time way for the glory of God. Oh, how I thank the Lord that he is not a boring God. Oh, there's more going on around God and around God's people than there is anywhere else. I promise you, they ain't got nothing at the fair. They ain't got nothing at Six Flags. They ain't got nothing at over yonder at Carolina. Carowinds, they ain't got nothing. You might feel a little dizzy for a while, but I promise you this, you get hooked up with Jesus, you're going to feel something for a long time. I'm glad to know, hallelujah, that he's able and capable of helping me make a decision. And I'm glad for that decision I've made. One must be willing to take the cap off. The decision is yours, not mine. I came to feed you this week. I'm putting it on the table. I cannot make you eat it. I cannot make you drink it. I cannot force feed you. I can give to the flock what the flock needs, but the flock's got to help a little bit and eat it. So I want to encourage you to do what the Lord says, to enter into what God says will work. Why don't we want the Lord to do something for us? Oh, my goodness, because we're making choices that don't have anything to do with him. Make a choice that I am going to taste and see. I tasted Jesus on the third Sunday night in September, 1968. I tasted him. I mean, he gave me a taste, oh, my soul. And I began immediately to see. All of a sudden, I seen cussing wasn't in God's favor. All of a sudden, I began to see that God loved sinners no matter how low down they was. Because I was at the bottom of the barrel. He went through hell to get me and pull me back through, letting me know don't come back this way again. I'm glad, thankful tonight and praising the Lord tonight that God opened my eyes like he would a cat. And he let me see the vision of God and the favor of God and the love of God and the power of God. And I got to see God like God wants to be seen. I thank him and praise him tonight, hallelujah, and give him glory and honor and thanksgiving that I didn't taste something that tasted bad. I didn't taste something that tasted bitter. I didn't taste something that tasted sour. I'm glad, praise God, I got out under the spout where the glory was coming out, and I found out real quickly that God will let you see if you will taste. Taste. let me see. I found this. If it's a lie, the internet told it, which it could be. You make 1,788,500 decisions in is it 1 year?
Yes, sir.
1 year, 1,000,000 decisions. Now, I don't know. Just let that sink in. 1,788,500. You make 70 every day. Some of you, a few more than that, if you're in high places doing other things. 70. 25,000 a year. Now, you think about 1,000,000 decisions. You got to miss one or two. And they'd be wrong. You got to. You probably going to miss more than one or two. I'm being nice to you because I like you. But I promise you this, you may miss more than that out of 1,000,000 in a year. But the one thing you don't want to do is miss the ones that are favorable to God's work and God's word. I have been called to preach by an anointing that came in my life 50 years ago. God let me handle the word of God, not deceitfully, but with truth and encouragement. I'm glad of that. I thank him for that. I bless him for that, and I praise him for that. What a joy. The greatest decision I made was not going to school. The greatest decision I ever made was not going in the Navy. The greatest decision I made was not getting married. It is one of the most important ones you'll ever make. If you're a preacher, you better get the right one dead on and get somebody to help you in the fiance part. Find out if the fiance is not Beyonce. I don't know why that come out. It just did. I don't even know who she is. She probably lives around here on these apple orchards. But you need to make sure she's for you, and she needs to make sure she's with you, because you don't want her to be miserable, and you don't want to be miserable. I thank God for the choice. The greatest choice I ever made was on the third Sunday night of September, 1968, when Jesus rode through where I was. I'm talking about on the horse of conviction, had the whip of condemnation, and all of a sudden he threw down his whip, got off his horse, showed me his hands, showed me his feet, showed me his side, and said, "Come unto me, all ye that heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meekness and health and strength in your life." How many of you, a million decisions, let the one that's at the top be the one that you make for Jesus? Let me ask you something. Will you make a decision? Taste and see. Throw in my apple real quick. All right. You ain't too bad off sick when you can catch something that far away. See, that's why I couldn't catch it when I come here. That's why I'm going to stay here next week and sit right there and just shout Joe down. All right. The University of Chicago put this out as truth. A man was an atheistic philosopher and theologian. He came to the campus of one of the colleges there, DePaul or one of them in Chicago, and filled up an arena, a theater, a great conference hall, filled it up with people, and taught for an hour and 15 minutes on why Jesus was dead. He agreed that he lived, but he agreed that he died and kept him in the ground and believes that he was no more than a moral man. He was standing up there giving his little speech. He was up there giving those young people a bad memory. And all of a sudden, there was an old black janitor in a back corner over yonder, propped up on a mop, looking at him. And he was just blaspheming God. All of a sudden, that old man raised his hand. The man asked for questions from the group. Old man on the broom throwed his hand up. He wouldn't recognize him. He said, "Hey, I have a question." He said, "What is your question? Hurry up, bring it to me. What is your question?" He said, "Is this apple sweet or bitter?" I'm going to spit this apple all over everybody on the front row, so just get ready. Hold your hat, honey. "Is it bitter or sweet?" He said, "I don't know about your apple. I can't tell you. Why? How come? Is it sweet or not? Bitter, what is it?" He said, "I haven't had anything to do with the apple." He said, "That's exactly what I'm talking about. You ain't had nothing to do with this Jesus, or you know he's still alive." Let me ask you a question. Have you had anything to do with him? Do you know him? Have you chosen him? Made a decision for him to where you have entered into knowledge about his grace? Number two. The second thing I want you to see. Number two. There must be not only a decision made, but there is a discovery made. Notice what it says. In this verse, it says, let's see, that the Lord He said, taste and see. Your eyes get open, and what do you see? That the Lord, He is good. Hadn't He been good to you, honey? Hadn't He given you strength and power you didn't think you'd ever have? Ain't it good to let you come over and sit in the sawdust? Ain't it wonderful to have a boy like this one that sings and a daughter-in-law we don't like? Ain't it a wonderful, ain't it wonderful to see what God's doing in people's lives? I've watched people all week long. Just kidding, baby. I felt a cold shoulder. And the goodness of the Lord has been apparent in this place because the presence of the Lord has been here to let us see what we've tasted. I have tasted this week and I have seen this week, and now I'm living out of the fruits of this week. I'm living out of those fruits in the goodness of God. Hasn't the Lord been good to us? Psalm 105, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 135:3. Praise the Lord. Let me say it again, because some of you might be just a little tired of it all week. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. What a blessing, what a joy, and what a goodness to be able to see the Lord's graciousness and God's goodness. He says here that there is a discovery that we must make, the goodness of God. I want somebody who's been coming to this place a long time, I want you to stand up right where you're a man. For 1 minute, I want you to tell me how God's been good to you this week. 1 minute. 1 minute. Quickly. We can't sit here and look at each other long. We got to go. But just stand up and tell me one thing that the Lord's done for you this week that's helped you. You've seen it because you tasted Him. Somebody got to get that man either dead, buried. There's two of them. Whole bunch of places dying. Come over here and stand right here and talk like a Pentecostal. So then people back yonder can hear you. All right, you got a microphone? Yes, just give him a mic. Yeah, here we go. Amen.
There's something that I've seen that's been amazing to me, and it's what He's done for you.
Amen. 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 I appreciate you praying every night. You've come up and talked to me about that, and I thank the Lord. Amen. So sick I couldn't come last time, but the Lord's been good this time.
It's been special.
Thank you so much. Amen. Praise God. Come on, just testify, man. Come up here and get. You're too old to be sitting around. You can't move. Come on. What's He done for you? Brag on Him.
He saved me. And I can't praise Him enough. This week has been something special.
Brother Brown last year
stood right here one day. He asked people to pray for him. A year ago, and I don't know why, but God put that on my heart, and I've been praying for that man, and He has really blessed me being here this week to be able to hear Him.
Bless your heart, son. The devil don't like that, but that's all right. I don't care what he likes or don't like. Aren't you glad? Thank God that the Lord is good. The goodness of God is real. I'm going to be honest with you. I've come to this place, and I'd fight you before I change this statement. Listen, I wish and hope for healing, because I don't know what the future holds, and the future can be difficult with people with Parkinson's. You can get to where you can't do nothing. You can get to where you have to be fed down a tube. You can get to where you can't do nothing but sit and nod and drool. I don't want to get there, but I don't have a say in it. I have put my life in the hands of God to do whatever He pleases. But I want to say something. I would not take, 4 years ago, a doctor looked at me and said I had this stuff. I would not take one day of that 4 years off and let it be a good day, because every day the goodness of God comes around where I am and holds me in the palm of His hand and gives me strength to keep on going. There's more power sometimes in persecution and more power sometimes in hurting than there is in healing. Healing, sometimes man just gets up and goes and says, I've been healed. But in hurting, God's grace has got to be daily in your life, churning in your life. And He'll do special things for you. He'll help you. He'll encourage you. And He'll strengthen you. Can I get a witness? Can somebody holler amen? Oh, my. What a blessing and what a joy. What a joy. Well, let me give you the third one. We'll be gone. What's the first one, Jake? There's a decision made. Oh, taste. Say that with me. Oh, taste. Here's how it's really written. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let me taste. He's reaching from His inside out. He's grasping from His heart. Oh, God. He says, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. And then the last thing is, there. What was the second one? It's a what?
Discovery.
A discovery. Say that with me. First one was a what?
Decision.
A decision. Say it loud. Decision. That's what God wants us to make. What's the second thing? A discovery. We discover what we taste when we see what God's doing. He'll let you view you. He'll let you encourage yourself as David did in the Lord when it gets difficult. And so the Word of God teaches us that. And the last thing is, there is a delight. Notice what he says in this verse. He said in verse number 8, the latter part of it, he says, and the man that trusteth in Him, oh fear, verse 9, oh fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. There is a delight. Now, I give you this and quit. We taste. How many of you have been tasting this week? We taste. Oh, God, feed me. Oh, God, give me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, touch me. And then when He does, all of a sudden, vision comes in. Something more than television. Vision comes in, and all of a sudden there's reality and God becomes real to you. And you start seeing things you never saw. Acting how you've never acted. And singing. I didn't think I'd ever sing outside of a dance hall or sing outside of anything but a bar room. But when Jesus passed by, I found out you can go to church and have a better time by accident. I know this many people under here, everybody don't go to church every Sunday, and everybody sometimes finds a little place to find some of that other music, you know, that boot scooting boogie and all that. Prop me up beside the jukebox when I die. My God, who wants to be propped up against a jukebox in a Waffle House with a toothless waitress? Don't prop me up, bury me. Keep me out of the Waffle House. I don't want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight. Help us. You say, Brother Brown, you got all kind of issues. You don't know half of it. I've just been living in the real world where people are tasting dope, alcohol, pumped up for the party, pumped up for the get-together. I got to snort something or smoke something or ingest something in order to have a good time. Lord, help us. What a flat life to live yours is, boring as it can be. You say, I can't find my car. I can't find my car keys, and I woke up not long ago in a crack house. That is a real jewel on your resume. Wonderful, wonderful. God's not that way. God lets you see stuff. God will let you become one with what's going on and let you see what really matters in life. And then as you see, you will become delighted. Your life will be, tell me what that meant, Jake. You said today, we were studying together. The word delighted means, it says blessed. What verse is that? Stand up and read it and preach it a minute, all right?
Blessed simply means happy. When you get a taste of who Jesus is and you experience the goodness of
the
Lord,
boy.
All of a sudden there's a joy that wells up inside of you. All of a sudden there is happiness that's on your face. When you get God and you start tasting who He is, all of a sudden, thank God, there is joy that wells up inside of you. There is a contagious smile on your face. You know, Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. Amen, church. We ought to just get happy over the fact that Jesus has saved us. We ought to just get happy over the fact that He's changed us. We ought to just decide to be happy because we've tasted Him, we've tried Him, and He's come through every time. Amen, church. Happy. If you're happy tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what blessed means. Just means happy. There's delight in Jesus. Amen, preacher.
Our Father. I won't dress that apple. Our Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the Word of God. And this good preacher, pastor, and friend that moderates this meeting and allows the Holy Spirit to have His way. Don't mock or set aside the things that are important just to say they had a meeting and cripple the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much tonight that you are good. Thank you for these preacher boys that I want to do nothing but ag them on. I don't want to do nothing but encourage them on the way and on the journey. And I thank you that I've tasted something over these 71 years. For 50 of it, I can say it's been a joy and a thrill to taste the goodness of God. Thank you for the friends that's brought my way. Thank you for the sweet women that have cooked and fellowshiped with me out of this meeting and all over the country. People have loved me and encouraged me. And I want to tell you, one more time, I'm amazed at how good people can be to you when they want to. And I've felt your presence every night under this tabernacle. I have to have it. I don't have the choice to pray anymore. If I don't pray, I get up and just absolutely lose my mind and can't concentrate and my thought process goes away. I don't have any help in myself any longer. I'm now completely and absolutely leaning on the everlasting arms. And thank you for these people leaning with me this week. I pray you do a great work next week if God gives us that week. But I want to thank you for what has been and what will be. Who'll get out of their chair and come tonight? Kneel around this front and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to be somebody who's tasted of the goodness of God. I have a boy that's lost. I have a daughter that's on drugs. I have two. Mine was delivered by the Holy Spirit, and yours can be too. Mine was brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. Talked to her just before the service. She said, Daddy, I'm praying that God will let her rip tonight, and you'll do your best. How many of you get out of your seat and say, I got a mom and daddy. I got a brother and a sister. I got somebody that hadn't tasted anything in so long. They don't even know what God tastes like. I want to come and I want to kneel. Some of you got boyfriends and girlfriends, and some of you got in-laws, and some of you got kinfolk, and some of you got people around you that you don't even know or recognize or acknowledge. I want you to come. Come, come, come. Let's stand all over the building, standing everywhere. He's going to sing something for us, Brother Jim is. While he does, I wonder if you'd come. Come and pray for the meeting next week, that God would let the old-time power of God move in the midst of people here every night. Come on, come on. You deacons,
so sweet,
church leaders, come on and find a place. And let's trust
Jesus
him and give him glory tonight.
Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust his cleansing blood.
Why don't you come and close this week out as a victory? Why don't you come and say, Lord, I will not have it halfway. I will not leave anything under this tabernacle that I haven't dealt with you about. Come on, step out from the right, the left, and come. And we'll be going home in just a little while. And you're going to wish you laid something down. Somebody's burdened. Somebody's got something you want to throw on the Lord and cast on the Lord Jesus. Do it while you can. Do it now. Do it tonight. Do it quick, because God is ready to meet you here. And the devil wants to keep you away from here. One more verse. Sing it now.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in.
Come on, in Jesus' name. Somebody needs the Lord. God will save anybody that'll ask him. Anybody that'll ask him. All you got to do is believe on his name and trust him. He'll take your sins and he'll take them away. Come on.
Joy and peace.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know
I'm not being sacrilegious, but you can't come get a bite of the apple.
With me,
you can't come taste.
And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him.
Amen.
How I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, pray.
precious
Amen.
Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Now, if you don't think this works or has an impact, don't raise your hand. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But there's a whole bunch of you. You ain't had an apple in a long time. But as soon as he bit into one, you wanted a bite. You know it's so. Some of you will stop at Ingles on the way home and get you an apple. Amen. That's how it is with the good things of God. That's why we have this meeting. And these lost folks doesn't even know. But as you and I taste, amen, they get a glimpse of it, amen. And they go to wanting something they didn't even know they wanted, amen. Oh, taste and see. Hallelujah. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God tonight. And the Word of God this week, amen. Blessed be His name, amen. You keep praying for Brother Brown. He's just going to keep on keeping on and letting her rip. And we're going to pray for that. Amen. Now, don't forget the Lord's Day Sunday. Don't forget next week. Brother Joe, Lord willing, will be right back in here with us. And pray God would come. Because I want to tell you, you can keep tasting. You can taste more and more. Amen. He's not got a limit, amen. He's not got a limit. You can get up to the trough, amen. You can get as much as you want. Father, I thank you for the week. I thank you, God, for ministering through your man. Lord, thank you for touching and helping him, oh God. Lord, thank you for using him to give us a Holy Ghost boost. A spiritual boost, oh God. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, you'd manifest it, Lord, Sunday morning in all your churches. And then, Lord, next week, come Monday night, when we come back in here, Lord willing, God, we'd come back wanting more, to taste more, to see more, to delight more, to do more, to be more, oh God. All for your honor and glory we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You be sure to shake hands. This dear preacher, shake hands and go your liberty if you've tasted and seen. Amen.